Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue our study of St. Matthew with healing of the leper, faith of the centurion, Jesus heals many, cost of discipleship, and calming the storm. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed us.
Maybe we're just too accustomed to hearing about it. It's one of those things we were taught in Sunday school when we were children about God making a promise to Abraham. Maybe we underestimate, because we're so familiar with the idea, how great that promise was and how great its fulfillment was. Not only that Abraham would have a child, but that the child would be the child of a covenant. It would be the keeping of a covenant that God made and promised to Abraham, and that child wouldn't just remain one child, but would in time, as Abraham's seed, grow into a great nation and indeed bless the entire world, even us today, in its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson talking about God's covenant with Abraham in Genesis chapters 15 and 17. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you so much.
How important is it to understand the Old Testament in terms of this covenant with Abraham, indeed perhaps even all of Scripture in terms of that covenant?
I tell you, my work really was done for me by Enduring Faith. That's the Sunday school literature from Concordia Publishing House. On one page, they have all of the promises that God made to Abraham. And on the next page, they have all the promises that God makes to us who are living as Christians in this world. And so that is a wonderful way in which the material has shown that what is in the Old Testament does have ramifications for those of us who live in the New Testament times. And that's how I would answer that question.
So let's detail the circumstances surrounding here. Give us some context for what God is going to promise to Abraham.
Yes. God, first of all, chooses Abraham. And at the time that he chooses him, his name is Abram. Exalted Father is what that means. And God changes his name to Abraham, the father of many nations. And that actually occurs in chapter 12, which isn't really part of the Sunday school lesson, but we're to look at it, where God says to Abraham, get out of the country from your kindred and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Then in chapter 15, the Lord says to Abraham, because Abraham says, how am I going to be a blessing to many nations? I don't have any of my own children. I do have an heir from the house of Eliezer. Yeah, that's Ishmael, but nobody in my house is born of my heir. And the Lord says, no, Ishmael will not be your heir, but one who will come after your own body shall be your heir. And verse 6 is so important of chapter 15, because it is the essence of the Christian faith. Recently, I was listening to two people talk about the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament books, and they said the Old Testament teaches that you're saved by your works, but the New Testament says you're saved through faith. Well, look at verse 6 of chapter 15. After God says that from the flesh of Abraham would come a child when he and Sarah are past childbearing age. It says, and he believed in the Lord, and God accounted it to him for righteousness. So, we are declared righteous by God, not through our obedience, but through our faith, which means trust in the promises of God. And those promises occur in chapter 17, when God visits Abraham when he's 99 years old and tells him he's going to be having a baby next year.
So, in essence, God is saying to him that this promise is not going to depend in any way upon Abraham's ability to participate in its fulfillment, because he's past the point of being able to do this on his own.
This is what we mean by grace. By grace means that we are saved when we do not deserve it. If we were enabled to do what God wants us to do, then we wouldn't be saved by grace. We would be saved by merit. In fact, the hymn for this coming Sunday talks about that we're saved by God's merit, not by our merit. In other words, we don't do anything to deserve as a wage or a salary salvation. But God does everything, and he sure does this with Abram. Now, a lot of people think, well, Abram was the first Jew. No, he wasn't. He was actually a Hebrew. And Jews didn't come about until with the sons of Jacob. So God chose Abram for no reason at all. We can't figure out why he chose him. And he made him the father of all the nations. In fact, that's why he's called Abraham, because that now means the father of many nations. And in chapter 17, God begins to give the promises to Abraham that God will fulfill, not something that Abraham is able to do on his own.
Take us into chapter 17 and what we find there.
Yes. God says, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. That's verse 4. Now, what he means by that is a covenant is an agreement that God is making with Abram. In fact, that's why we talk about the Old Testament and the New Testament. That really doesn't refer to books of the Bible as it refers to the Old Covenant God made at Exodus chapter 24, and the New Covenant that Jesus made in 1 Corinthians 11 with his Lord's Supper. And the two covenants are the difference between living under the law, thinking that you're going to be saved by your works, and the New Covenant, living under grace. And that's what's going to happen now through Abraham. He says, in verse 6, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. He also promises in verse 8, I will give to you and descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you, and then talks about every male child among you shall be circumcised. So just as baptism becomes the sacramental sign that an individual is now guaranteed salvation, so also circumcision was that. And Abraham was circumcised that day, Ishmael was circumcised, and all the family of Abraham, even those that had been kind of sold to him that were working as his servants. So those promises God makes to Abraham, and they're really well numbered in the CPH material, that Abraham would be a blessing to all the families, an heir would come from his body, his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky, nations and kings would come from Abraham, the land of Canaan would belong to him, God would be their God, and Sarah would bear Abraham a son when Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90. Now, this is a wonderful lesson, particularly to teach young people and even those who are growing older, because this is the question on everybody's mind. How do I know what I should be doing in this life? What gives meaning to my life? And they have a wonderful exercise at the beginning where they ask the children, what is your best color? They have three options, A, B, and C. What animal do you like most? A, B, and C. Where do you want to live someday? In the city, on a farm, or an island? Then they say, if you answered all A, you'll be a lawyer with 9 children. If you answer B, then you'll discover a new element and name it after your mom. If you answer C, you'll become a scuba instructor. And if it's all mixed up, you'll be an astronaut who also raises ferrets. And they make the point, a quiz cannot predict your future. Of course not. But you can begin to try and plan your future. I myself went through about, 5 or 6 things I wanted to be. I wanted to be a policeman. Then I wanted to be dealing with medicine. Then I wanted to be a missionary. Then I wanted to be a pastor. And I went through each of those, and things got in the way of becoming those. So we're really in a situation where we do not know the future. And this is bothering a lot of people today. And I want to talk more about that when we get into the promises that God gives to us. But this would be a wonderful lesson for youth and adults who have real problems in trying to figure out their identity. In fact, the material even has a section connecting your identity and calling. Who am I and why am I here? And those answers are found in this Abraham event.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're talking about God's covenant with Abraham in Genesis chapters 15 and 17. He's host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. We'll talk about God's changing Abraham's wife's name after this. Dr. Ed Gremenstein, author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for September, speaking boldly.
I think we should, as a Lutheran church body, never forget the power of the lay people in their ability to speak both law and gospel. I think it's literally like an untapped army that we can take better advantage of.
You can purchase Speaking Boldly at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040.
In many ways, St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bel Air, Maryland is just like any other Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Church. They have worship services each Sunday and reach out to their community, but one thing they don't do is pay their electric bill. Hello, this is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. And if you want to hear what St. Matthew actually did to eliminate their electric bill, just visit interesttime.org. That's interesttime.org.
The church's music from the 2nd century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The 6th century. The 12th century. The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your will, and guide us
the 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Welcome back. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel, talking about God's covenant with Abraham in Genesis chapters 15 and 17. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Tom, God also changes Abraham's wife's name. What does that mean?
She is changed. She was Sarai, S-A-R-A-I, and now it becomes Sarah, which means princess, which is kind of interesting, so that he's the father of many nations, he's the princess, and even from her, the Bible says, will come kings and others, and it is through her that the new nation will come about, God's nation, namely Israel, very close to the same kinds of things that were said to Eve and also to the Virgin Mary. Eve, of course, with the birth of Cain and Abel, and Mary, of course, with the birth of Jesus.
It says there in verse 9, you must keep my covenant. What does it mean that Abraham must keep that covenant and his descendants after him?
Yes, the covenant is really dealing with the circumcision, because he says right after that, this is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and your descendants. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. And verse 12 says, the infant male is circumcised at 8 days old. Now, this is really important, because it says that my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And verse 14 says that if a person is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. So that's the covenant that God wants the believers in the Old Testament times to be doing. And the new covenant, of course, is baptism. Paul even says the new circumcision is baptism. But what I find interesting here, Todd, is there's nothing that happens to little children who are female. They can't be circumcised, obviously, and yet they're still part of the covenant of God. And I've used this in a number of sermons to indicate that a person does not have to be baptized as an infant in order to be saved. There's at least five ways I've found that infants are saved by God, and one of them is right here with the males and circumcision, and the female children, there's no anything that I'm aware of that happens to them, but they're still considered as saved when they are part of the saved family of Abraham, etc. So there's so much that can be said about Abraham if one looks closely at what is being said in this wonderful event.
So take us through what you mentioned before, the parallels or perhaps even the fulfillments of the parts of the promises made to Abraham and the promises now made to us in Christ.
Yes, I'm really happy they talk about identity and calling, because if there is something that's going around this country these days, it's called identity politics. And what that means is that a lot of people are victims because of the office they hold or the vocation they're doing, etc. For example, if you are born a woman, you're automatically a part of this victimology because women are supposedly looked down upon by most men. Second of all, imagine if you were born a black woman. Well, now you got two things against you. And then if you're poor, well, that's a third kinds of thing against you. And then if you become pregnant out of wedlock and you're a single mother, now you have four things against you. And if you take a look at the things that are happening in the streets, these are by people who think that they have become victims and they want the political system to change it, which the political system is not going to be able to do. They're not going to be making men and women equal because there's too many changes between us, etc. But I had a number of women in my congregation at St. James for 28 years that fit all five categories. They were black, they were a woman, they were poor, they were single mothers, and they had no husband. They were joyous. Why? Because as the Sunday school material makes it very clear, God has made them part of his covenant family, not only through baptism, but through the promises that they received. For example, this is what the CPH material lists. Jesus has prepared a place for them to be with him one day. Jesus has promised to forgive their sins for his sake. He also promises he will complete the work of redemption. He promises that one day all sadness will end, and offers them, not in the future, but even here in the present, peace and hope, as Jesus did when he walked to the disciples' upper room on the day of the resurrection after Jesus had been crucified and said, "Peace be with you." And therefore, as we teach our Christian members, you may not know your future. You may not know how to get to it. But by reading his word, by having fellowship with other Christians, God will help youth and adult to choose future paths that are in accordance with his will for their lives. That's what God did to Abraham. You are a child of Abraham. In fact, Romans 9-11 is really important, where Paul makes the point, not all Israel is of Israel. And he's making a distinction between those who think they're part of Israel because they're related back to Abraham versus those who are the true Israel because they believe the gospel promises as Abraham did, and God accounts them as righteous. So that is a message that the church needs to be getting out to people who are being enveloped by this so-called identity politics. It's not true. It's a fabric of the imagination of those who don't agree with God's word. Because God's word says it doesn't matter what vocation you're in, but you should look to the future with hope and joy because of the promises that God says he will never leave you nor forsake you. He also will work all things out to your good. This results in a change of attitude on the part of people who are living in the world today.
Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel is leading us in a Sunday school teaching on God's covenant with Abraham. Here's the Christ connection point in the Enduring Faith Sunday School curriculum on this very passage. God is faithful to us in giving us his promised son, Jesus Christ, the descendant of Abraham, who fulfilled God's promises to redeem his people. You can find out more about the Enduring Faith Sunday School curriculum by calling Concordia Publishing House. They'll send you a free sample, 1-800-325-3040. Or to learn more at issuesetc.org, click Talk On Demand Archives and look for Enduring Faith. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about how God actually fulfilled this promise from Abraham on down in the Old Testament and in Christ in the New. Thanks to a generous donor, we've purchased a building for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The donor will match up to $200,000 for the purchase and renovation.
The entire cost is approximately $375,000.
You can view an architect's rendering and make a special tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org.
Or call 618-223-8385.
Thanks for your consideration.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Pastor Brian Katchelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. Over the next 5 years, Los Alamos National Laboratory is planning to hire thousands of new employees in the areas of science, engineering, security, administration, and construction. If you have both a technical and confessional mind, Los Alamos may be the place for you. I invite you to explore the possibilities on the websites for the Town, Laboratory, and Redeemer Lutheran Church.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel, about God's covenant with Abraham in Genesis chapters 15 and 17. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson. So, Tom, walk us through briefly the history of the Old Testament, is what it ends up being. How God fulfills this covenant there in the Old Testament to Abraham and his descendants, and then in the New Testament through Jesus Christ.
Yeah, good question. So, Abraham, of course, leaves his land, and he goes to another area, and he has, well, children, and you get Jacob, who has the 12 sons, and of course, they hate Joseph. They sell him into slavery, and God, they did it for evil. Joseph says, no, God meant it for good, where Joseph becomes second in command in Egypt and helps store a whole bunch of years of good harvest for the famine, which leads Jacob and his sons to go to Egypt to get food. The Pharaoh there later on forgets about Joseph and puts Israel into captivity. And what happens after that is they leave Egypt through the Red Sea, and guess where they go? To the land of Canaan. which is the promise. In fact, when Joseph died, he told the people, don't bury me, put me in a box and carry that box to Canaan, because that's the promise of God. Now, we also had the similar promises. We are going to the land of Canaan. It's called heaven, where we will live eternally with Jesus. Those are the promises for us. As I indicated, he prepared a place for us. And the reason we are enabled to enter into the kingdom of God eternally is because our sins have been forgiven as we trust. That is what believe means. Trust the promises of the gospel, that when Jesus died on the cross, he took upon himself the payment for our sins, and he sends us now the Holy Spirit that helps to guide us in what our future will be, as we can have a very positive attitude about that in comparison to the world, who just cannot understand why they endure much suffering and pain.
I want to come back to that verse there in chapter 15 where it says, Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. Explain what that means then, and explain how it is that St. Paul will take that verse and apply it also even to us.
There's two ways one can be saved. It's long gospel we're talking about. One is obedience to the law, which an unbeliever cannot do, because that obedience is not only doing the right work, the right word, or the right thought, but the right motivation. And, well, just take a look at Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats. The sheep and the goats are probably doing the same works. They both maybe will give food to the poor, visit people in prison. But the sheep are motivated by the power of the Holy Spirit out of their love for Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that the sheep are perfect in their works. No, the old Adam always gets in there, and we become like the Apostle Paul. The things I want to do, I'm unable to do. The things I want to stop from doing, I'm always doing. Who will deliver me from this death? And it is Jesus Christ who died for us. The other example I would use is when Abraham is told to kill Isaac. He's about ready to kill Isaac. And you say, wait a minute. Doesn't he hear the promise that through Isaac will become a blessing to all the nations? The answer to that is found in the book of Hebrews, where Abraham, it is said, believed that even were he to kill Isaac, God would still raise him from the dead, because Isaac had come from a dead womb. Now, that is faith. So when God tells him, even though there's no evidence that he's going to have a baby, in fact, when God first tells them, Abraham and Sarah, they're going to have a child, it takes 25 years before that child is finally born. And so Abraham is 100 years old, and Sarah is 90. Therefore, when it says in verse 6 that from you will come kings, etc., what Abraham does is he believes that promise, and God declares him to be righteous. So our righteousness comes from trust in a promise, not in a work that we merit. And that's the same for Christians, that when the thief on the cross heard Jesus' words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and asked, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Today, you will be with me in paradise. A promise that God gives to every believer who dies in the Lord.
What did you mean earlier when you were talking about descendants of Abraham not being counted according to their bloodline, but according to something else?
Yes, it's Romans chapter 9. Not all Israel is of Israel, which means that they think they're of Israel. Remember, the name Israel means actually to struggle with God. And there was a struggle with God, and that's where the word Israel comes from. Now, people think that they're members of Israel because they're related back to Abraham, and that's why they hated the Gentiles, because the Gentiles were not related back to Abraham. In fact, you could become a proselyte, join the Judaism religion, but you weren't even allowed in the proper places of the temple if you were a Gentile. Now, what we're being told is that the new Israel is the Holy Christian Church. Anybody who believes the promises of the gospel, and that's why it's so important. When I drive around in Uber and I get into a religious conversation with a passenger, I'll often ask the question, do you believe in God? And then they'll say, oh yeah, I believe in God. Well, my next question follows. What kind of God do you believe in? Give me a promise the God you believe in has given you. And a lot of times there's silence. They just believe in a big creator God. They don't know there are promises. And I say, yeah, I also believe in God, but because of his promises. And if you can move people by the power of the Holy Spirit to believe in the promises, then God recognizes them as righteous in his sight through their faith, not through their obedience.
So is this why, when we come to the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus is sending his disciples not just to Israel? He had done that earlier in Matthew's gospel, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But now he's sending them out into the entire world.
Yes, and notice the two things he says you need to do. Baptize, which is the new circumcision, bringing two gifts, according to Peter's sermon at Pentecost, the gift of the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you therefore receive the Holy Spirit, which enables you, permits you, to receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ in the Lord's Supper as another assurance. The bottom line is, it's Jeremiah 29, verse 11, which the CPH material points to. And here's what God is saying, and this is the essence of the Abraham incident. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And boy, did Joseph believe that. When Jacob died, and the brothers thought, well, now he may kill us and get even with us for selling him into slavery, he said, am I God? No. God knew you meant it for evil, but he meant it for good. And that's the point you want to try and get across to Christians. It doesn't matter what is happening to you. You may look on it as an evil, and sometimes it is. But God will work it out to your good, because that's his promise. And that's one of the reasons that Christians do not need to be afraid of the future.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. You'll find a link to Law and Gospel on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Tom, thanks.
Thank you.
We'll be talking Saving Faith on this Tuesday afternoon with Pastor Bill Sorla, author of a column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Enough Faith, right after the break.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.